Good morning, everybody. As we continue to celebrate our risen Lord, this morning we come at God's invitation to the throne room of grace. And so I want to read a few verses from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and do not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. And it continues on with lots more praise, and we're going to continue with praise as we sing number 496. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. just to remind us that our journey is not a sprint but a marathon. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we come because you have chosen us for service. You have called us by your grace, and you have set us free from all that held us and have made us whole. You have enabled us to know you, and so we come to praise and to thank you. Father, we praise you that you are far, far greater than we can ever understand. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us in Jesus. We praise you for your love to us in Christ Jesus. We will never understand how great your love really is. Lord, you are our God, and there is no other. You are our God, and we want no other. You are our God, and we give you thanks and praise. It is in worshipping you that we see ourselves as we really are. It is only through your love that we can face what life brings. It is only as we stand together that we will know the joy of belonging to the kingdom of God. Lord, give us a real sense of your presence and power each day. Father, we do not always find it easy to trust you or to follow Jesus. We do not always find it easy to know what we should say or do. Even when we know what is right, we don't always find it easy to do it. Father, we often feel such poor examples for you and your kingdom. We thank you for understanding how hard it can be to follow Jesus and how easy it is to give in to what is wrong. We praise you that we can know your strength, your encouragement, and your courage. We thank you not only that Jesus lived our life and died on the cross, but that he was raised to life again and is always with us. He knows what it means to be let down by his friends and to feel rejected. We praise you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he lives in our hearts and changes our lives. We thank you for your promise that we will never stand by ourselves, but that you will always stand with us. Forgive us for those times when we felt like giving up and giving in. Forgive us when we have been ashamed of you and your love. Forgive us and protect us and keep us safe in our walk with you. Lord, we pray for your world. You made it and it belongs to you. You created it to be good and beautiful and an exciting place in which to live. You gave us eyes to see it, hands to touch it, feet to walk on it, and minds to discover its secrets. But Lord, we have spoilt your world, just as we have spoilt everything by our pride and selfishness. We pray for a new acceptance of your authority over your world, especially for those areas which are in great need of your control, your power, and your loving touch. Lord, there are so many places in our world that spring to mind as we think of that. And Lord, we know that each and every one is in your hand. But Lord, as we look upon the nations, Lord, our hearts are filled with despair. So we pray for our nation and the leaders of all nations. We pray for governments around the world, particularly for those who are genuinely seeking the best for their people. Lord, we think of all the leaders who carry the heavy burdens of responsibility. But Lord, may they know that in seeking truth and lasting peace, that authority lies in Christ's name. And so, Lord, I would pray that you would challenge those who don't know you, who seek to take responsibility into their own hands, to govern in their own way. That, Lord, you would reveal yourself again and again. And Lord, even in our despair, that we wouldn't stop praying, but that we would keep asking, Lord, that you would do what you need to do in our nations. Lord, we pray for our community and all that are in it. We pray that you would be with each one of us over these coming weeks. We pray, Lord, that as I start my sabbatical, as the church has its sabbatical from me, that you would give us each rest and recuperation and restoration, that you would speak to us all in new and wonderful ways and show us your way, the way that you would want your church to be, the way that you would want each one of us to be. Lord, be with us as we care and pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So I had a choice of what to preach this morning, as it's going to be my last preach for a few weeks. I could preach my favourite post-resurrection encounter, or I could do an amazing praise and worship session from my favourite book, or one of my favourite books, Revelation. So which one did I go for, except for the person who's reading it? Yeah, I went for Revelation, you knew I would. Revelation chapter 5. When we started the book of Revelation, and you remember a little while ago we preached through it, or I preached through it, as some of us now have since have been to the seven churches of Revelation. And right at the very beginning, Jesus commanded John to write the things that you have seen, those that are to take place after this. And if we were to read all of the first five chapters, the first three chapters contain the things that were and are at the time that John wrote. Chapters 2 and 3 provide the contents of Jesus' letters to the seven churches. And chapter 4 begins the largest and last act of revelation regarding events yet to take place when John wrote. John introduced God seated upon his throne with 24 elders and 4 angelic creatures nearby. And as we come to chapter 5, it focuses on a scroll containing God's judgment on sin and God's purposes for the world, and a search for someone to open it. And so I'll ask Pauline if she'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is from Revelation chapter 5, from verses 1 to 14, and it's on page 1236 in the Church Bible. The Lamb, opens the scroll. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that he sent out to every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. They held gold bowls filled with the incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for God. They will reign on the earth." Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings. And they sang a mighty chorus: "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. This is the word of God.
What a great reading of praise as we continue to think about Jesus' work on the cross and his resurrection. Only Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. And when he receives the scroll from God, he receives praise from every creature in heaven and on earth. That praise which is echoed through every person, every creature in creation, in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them. And we join in with that songs of praise. And we're going to continue as we sing number 13, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we've sung those words that we can join in the eternal song of praise. That those words wouldn't just be on our lips here in this place, Lord, that we would leave this place singing your praises, real praise for all that you have done for each one of us. So, Lord, as we continue to read your word, as we continue to celebrate all that you have done for us, open our ears, open our hearts to receive you now. Amen. I just wanted to go out with a real bang, really. Fantastic song of praise. And if ever you struggle in your prayers, as I often do, to come up with words of praise, which is really embarrassing when you think how much we've got to be thankful for, then turn to God's word and read those wonderful words and join in with the praises of heaven. But as we continue to watch world events unfold, it's hard, isn't it, not to despair at everything that we're seeing and hearing, or to hold on to any hope that things will improve. But as I pray and seek God's word, and as I'll continue to do through my sabbatical, my attention focuses on the book of Revelation. Many use it to determine whether we are in end times, decoding it to assimilate current events. But I see the revelation given to John, the disciple of Jesus, by Jesus himself, as an invitation to hold on to a vision of hope of what is to come. As I often say, when we're thinking about different things, when we're reading God's word, go to the last chapter. It turns out all right in the end for believers of Jesus Christ. And it's so necessary, so important for us to anchor our souls in the eternal vision of God, to put the awful historical events into eternal context, and to hear the word that gives the church the belief to persevere in following Jesus, even as the devil runs riot on the earth. Because as Jesus said to his disciples when he left them, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We come this morning to worship. To worship the one who said, I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I find myself reflecting on Revelation 5 as a source of inspiration and hope. In its simplest understanding, John is seeing this vision standing in the throne room of heaven. He has been taken up from the island of Patmos through a doorway into the realm of God to see the world and history from the view of eternity. In chapter 4, John sees the four angelic creatures and their 24 elders around the throne crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Almighty. The one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. We sing that as a hymn, don't we? As I was saying, it was your head singing the little tune inside. Great, these hymn writers, aren't they? Drawing inspiration from God's word. But they are bowing down and they are worshipping the one who sits on the throne. And then as we come to chapter 5, John looks and sees a scroll in the hand of God. The scroll, we're told, has writing on both sides and is sealed by seven seals, which prevent the full disclosure and enactment of its contents. My notes suggest that it could resemble a Roman will or contract deed, with the contents written in detail inside and summarized briefly on the outside. It could symbolize God's covenant with humankind. In Revelation, the scroll symbolizes the mysterious plan of God, his hidden purposes in this vast act of history. God is the Lord, and his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I do praise God for that, because if I had to think about what God had to think about every day, I think my head would explode. We cannot discern the mind of God through the events of history. His ways are beyond our comprehension. So the scroll is the symbol of hope, of understanding, of insight into the mysterious purposes of our mysterious God. To understand God and his purposes, to live in hope amid evil, the scroll must be opened. John sees the scroll in the right hand of God, he hears a mighty angel proclaim in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seals?" Basically, who is worthy to reveal the purposes and the plans and the ways of God? Who can show us the mystery of God's ways? As John looks around the throne room, none step forward, because none are found worthy, not in heaven or in earth or under the earth. None of the created beings in all the universe are worthy to open the scroll and unlock the mystery of God's eternal purposes. And so when none are found worthy, I think I would have wept alongside John. His weeping is the sorrow of chaos, of the unknown, of a world lost in disorder. And I'm sure we can all relate to that, even as we live through these current times. His tears are the tears of apparent meanness, of the fear that evil will win the world in disarray, with no prospect for being made right. Because if none can open the scroll, there is no hope. But as he cries, an elder who sits around the throne speaks to John and tells him not to weep, for behold, there is one who is worthy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, echoing Jacob's blessing on Judah. He has triumphed and is able to open the scroll. As John looks on, the lion is there, but he's not a lion. Instead, the lion is a lamb who stands at the center of the throne, surrounded by the four living creatures and by the elders. The conquering lion now stands as a lamb standing. He is the living one who died and rose again. The lion, who is the lamb, steps forward and takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And when the lamb receives the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders who have praised God for his perfection and his creation now sing a new song that celebrates the lamb's redemption. They prostrate themselves, an affirmation of his deity, singing a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Jesus is worthy because he was slain, and his blood is the way of freedom for those who have been captured by the forces of evil and slaves to the power and principalities that dominate this age, as each of us were and are. Having been freed from these powers, the ransomed become a new people, a new nation, a kingdom, and priests to our God. The Lamb gathers to himself a new society, made up of all people who transcend the national boundaries, who have been redeemed from the earthly powers of human rebellion, that they may be citizens of a new and distinct kingdom. Now that is good news, isn't it? Tell your faces that. The lion who is the lamb can open the scroll because he is the revelation of the mysterious purposes of God, the one through whom God does his work in history, the one who reveals the very nature of God. His opening of the scroll tells us that he is the one around whom history revolves. The earth will not always be tyrannized by Satan and destroyed by his followers, if we read later on into Revelation. The first heaven and earth, stained by the curse through human sin, will be replaced by a fully renewed heaven and earth. That's the good news I was telling you about in the last chapters. And Christ's reign, and Christ's saints will reign in righteousness. And the lion who is the lamb confronts all human attempts to be lords who shape history through our own powers and projects, who believe that we are worthy to open the scroll because of our strength. And we're seeing those types right now in this world, aren't we, if we think about it? We think they are the ones and tell us they are the ones doing God's work. And that's not new. Throughout history, the nations have believed that they are the driving forces of history. Over this week, coming week, we'll be thinking about VE Day, World War, the world to afford to end all wars, and there'll be more wars. The nations have honoured themselves by believing that through them, God is working out his plan, that God is accomplishing his purposes through their military strength, that their financial power reveals God's blessing. We've heard it, we've seen it, we can continue to see it and hear it by their own lips. Revelation declares that the lion who is the lamb is not a contradiction. He is the revelation of the mystery of God who overcomes the powers of the world through the weakness of the cross. In him we find the revelation of the mysterious purpose of God, which is not to dominate through military might or to establish supremacy through financial powers or weapons of war, but to ransom humanity through the blood of the Lamb who establishes a kingdom which is not of this age. Revelation does not say that Christ is at times a lion and at times a lamb. It calls us to hold on to these seemingly two incompatible images as one. The lion is the lamb who was slain. Revelation declares that God's way of triumph is the way of the crucified lamb. God gains victory through weakness. God triumphs through the foolishness of the cross. The victory of the lion is through the lamb who was slain. And so, joining with the choruses of heaven, who acclaim the lamb worthy of sevenfold tribute, and remember that seven, as symbolized in the Bible, is a word for perfection, for completeness, and divine authority. They affirm in their sevenfold tribute seven things: power, wealth, wisdom, might, honour, glory and blessing, the worship of the Lamb testifying to his deity. As the kingdom and the priests, the church is called to be the presence in the history of the lion who is the Lamb. As we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, as we pray for Christ's church around the world, especially the persecuted church, I pray that we will be anchored in the throne room vision of Revelation, joining the choruses of heaven in proclaiming the Lamb who was slain is worthy, and so persevering in our witness to the Lion who is the Lamb. As the chapter concludes in that fourfold doxology, a blessing of honour, glory and might, to God and the Lamb. Because we read, eventually every knee in heaven and earth will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you have chosen us and called us to worship and to serve you, and to open our lives to the power of your word. You have loved us and healed us. You have changed us and filled us. Now set us free to be signs of your grace to those who are lost and those who are hurting. We commit ourselves to Christ and to be open to his will. So fill us with your Spirit, that we may live in the freedom of your grace. Amen. So as we prepare ourselves to gather around our Lord's table at his invitation, let's sing number 673, There is a Redeemer. So we read those words, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Jesus' invitation, you are invited to come, dine with me from now through all eternity. believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and dine with Jesus as your host, to live in heaven eternally. All you must do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And we join in the praises. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And so we pray. God of all hope, whose Son, Jesus Christ, announced the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the suffering and pressures of the world, and by your healing power make whole both people and nations, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to come to earth as the sinless Son of Man, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only he was good enough to pay the price of our sin and the sin of the whole world through the shedding of his lifeblood on Calvary's cross, so that we might be saved by grace through faith. Only he is worthy to open the seven sealed scroll so that your justified judgment against sin can be poured out on the God-hating, Christ-rejecting fallen race that refuses to receive your free gift of salvation. We thank you that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, who will judge the world in righteousness, and that all his enemies will one day be placed under his feet. Merciful Father, thank you that you know the end from the beginning and have set out your plans and purposes for the salvation of lost sinners and the establishment of Christ's eternal kingdom on earth. Lord, we thank you that you have the words of truth. Gracious Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God, who was slain to take away the sin of the world. Lord, how bittersweet it feels to know that we will see the marks in his hands and feet, the perfect Lamb slain for us, so that we can have eternal life with him. Thank you that the all-powerful Lamb who knows everything, knows us and loves us. May we live our lives loving him more and more each day. Abba, Father, what a great and mighty God you are, and what magnificent plans you have purposed to bring all things to completion. Help us to develop an attitude of gratitude for all that you have proposed for us and for all who love you. You are a good and loving Father who never changes and whose promises stand fast forever and ever. May we never forget all the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that have been purposed in the days ahead. Amen. So we read the words of institution. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so we pray. Remembering Jesus' life, his death, his glorious resurrection, we offer to you, gracious God, this bread and this cup, thankful that you have invited us into intimate, everlasting, ever-loving relationship in your presence. God of grace, sometimes discipleship is so difficult. We see you standing in front of us and we look for glory. Then you tell us to expect heartbreak and challenge. We set a glimpse of your glory and we are confused, frightened, unsure what to do or say. God of grace, made known in Jesus Christ in the challenge and in the glory, you call us to look towards you, to listen to you. Grant us the grace and wisdom to watch, to listen, to follow, to learn, and in the end, to possibly understand as we join you on the way, as we explore the glorious kingdom in this holy moment, in this bread and cup. May we be reminded that Christ is with us. Amen. As you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response to Christ. We take this bread and we feed on him in our heart by faith and thanksgiving. When you receive the cup, please retain it and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity as the family and body of Christ. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ given for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to know that as a member of the Bride of Christ, we will be uniting our voices to sing this glorious new song with the 24 elders and the multitudes of heaven and earth. Thank you that we have been redeemed by your blood, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. He alone is worthy of all praise, honour, and glory. Father God, for the amazing grace that you have granted through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain for us, we are not worthy to pick up the crumbs under your table, yet you have clothed us in your own righteousness. We praise your name forevermore. Amen. And so we continue our praise as we sing number 109. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hopefully you've all read your diary and the prayer everything that's on it, and also just to remind you that it's the AGM, and for those who haven't yet submitted their reports, please do so. I'm in smug mode because I've already done mine. So let's come to our Lord in prayer. Lord, we have stood at the foot of your cross and we have looked into your empty tomb. We have heard your voice which calls us to follow, to serve, to witness. We go from this place in the knowledge of your resurrection, in the promise of your power, and with the assurance of your living presence with us. We go from this place, but we go with him, in him, and for him, because he goes with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and send us to live in your glory. Amen.